Turn to Luke chapter 5. I think those little kids were in here too. I didn't break that, huh? Or I'll say it in Polish. I didn't break that, yes? Chapter 5. Hey, we got some New Yorkers here. Got Elizabeth and Melissa from New York, from Staten Island, from Mike's church. They'll be with us the rest of the week. So y'all don't get scared. We're a little funny here, but yous guys are welcome here. All right. I got another 5-minute message. Chapter 5. It says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to gather in your name. Father, we thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to not only listen to what you're doing in Poland and Venezuela and other places, Lord, and that you give us a burden to pray, that you give us a burden to support, Lord, what's going on over there. Lord, I just thank you for our churches, our home church. I thank you for your people, Lord, and the vision that you've given us. We ask, Lord, tonight that you help me to preach, help me to just forget some things, Lord, of the world today, just for a few moments, and to help me to just give out this message, these points that I want to bring out of this story, Lord. I just ask that you have your way with us tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the first thing, a couple of observations of what's going on here. The first thing that's impressive, you know, to me, and of course, we can say, well, it's Jesus Christ that's preaching, and that's why he had a bunch of people. Well, there was some times that people left. You know, he was preaching and people just walked off. They got offended. They got tired of, you know, listening to him or whatever. And they just left. So, but it's incredible to me. It says here, in chapter five, in verse one, it says the people pressed upon him to hear the word. You know, there's a lot of important things that that we can talk about, you know, and there's a lot of good topics that we can talk about. Man, I enjoy lots of topics. I enjoy listening to a bunch of stuff and maybe, you know, even stuff I don't really understand too much, you know, but you know, I like trying to understand some things, you know, that people talk about, and we enjoy talking, we enjoy fellowship, we enjoy, well, at least I do. I enjoy sitting around and just listening and you know, maybe participating. But you know what? There's nothing more important than God's Word. You know? And there's nothing more important for us to come to church and come to the assembly and hear God's Word. That's so important. You know, the Bible says that there's going to come a time. It says over there in 2 Timothy 4:3, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That time is going to come. Whether it's here or not, you know, I don't know. But you know what I do know sometimes? In church, God-fearing believers, sometimes they can't endure strong doctrine. They can't endure the preaching of the gospel. And it's incredible to me. I fight it, you fight it, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, it's a good thing to be in the house of God. It's a good thing to leave church with maybe a better understanding, maybe some helps on how to get your life on track, or maybe do something a little bit better. It's good when we leave the church. It doesn't always happen, but it's good when we leave the church with some knowledge of God's Word. Because listen to me, God's Word is living. God's Word is alive. You know, God's Word changes people. It's changed you. It's changed me. So for us to come into church and fall asleep, I know sometimes it's hard. Right? I know sometimes you get here and after a long day and you're tired, you know, and sometimes some of the best sleep is in church, isn't it? Sometimes we get some good sleep in church, you know, and maybe every now and again, it's probably good, you know, every now and again. So, you know, whatever, you know, get some Z's, right? I mean, you know, this little girl, you know, has a good idea right there, right? I mean, every now and again, but you know what? You have to be careful. You have to understand that when the Word of God is preached, not only, we need to be praying that God speaks to us, but we need to be watching that we don't fall asleep. Man, it happened to the apostles. Can we see that? I mean, Jesus says, look, I'm just going to go and pray. Can you help me out? And can you just pray a little bit with me? And he goes and he's praying and something huge is about to happen. And he comes out. And what are they doing? Asleep. They're sleeping. So, I mean, we're in good company. You know, we're of like passions. But let me tell you, there's come a time when people are not going to endure sound doctrine. The Bible says, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Oh, let us be careful that we don't say, you know what? I'm tired of this doctrine. I'm tired of this responsibility that the Bible is or they're trying to teach me. I want to go somewhere where I get my ears tickled, right? I want to go somewhere where they appease my flesh. And there's so many places like that. Man, I've been to those meetings, you know? And I can honestly say, wow, this church is happening, you know? This church is really good. But when I really think about it, when I walk out, I'm thinking, did I even learn anything today? You know, I mean, man, they got that music going and I'm, you know, or whatever it is, you know, good coffee coming in the doors, right? Donuts and, you know, whatever. Wow, this is great. But really, you want to pick a church because they got donuts and coffee out there? Buy a coffee maker. You know, bring a thermos to church. Amen. Eat a donut in the parking lot. Invite me. I'll eat a donut with you. Why do we endure strong doctrine? Well, let me tell you why. Because there's going to come a time when people don't. You know, people don't understand that God, not only, He's a God that wants to save, but let me tell you, He's a God of judgment. It says over there in Proverbs chapter 1, and many people don't know the sight of God, but it says that one day, those people that God has extended His hand out to them, and He's constantly calling, and they keep rejecting them, God says that He's going to laugh. What about us? You know, I'm thinking, if that's what He does to maybe the lost person, what about you? How long has God been stretching out His hand and trying to wake you up? You know, could it be that we're going to come before the judgment seat of God and He's going to laugh at you? Wow. Just imagine that. The Bible says over there in 2 Corinthians 5:11, talking about being before the judgment seat of Christ, talking about that one day God is gonna judge the good and the bad that you did. He says in verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Man, that's what we're doing. We don't just persuade lost people. You need to come to Christ. I want to persuade you. I don't want to deceive you. I'm not going to tell you that everything's going to be great when you get saved. It probably isn't going to be great. You know, there's probably going to be, you know, lots of times when you're like in the dark. You know, there's lots of times when you're going to feel, you know, you think, well, these guys are working down in Poland and you know, things sound good. And then there's times when you think, man, things aren't happening here. But you know what? We persuade men. I want to persuade you. I want to persuade the church. You know, even though sometimes things look bleak, God's working. God's moving. You know, you might not see it all the time, but God is right there. Another thing in verse 3. Look what it says here. In verse 3, another observation before we get into this 5-minute message. Another observation. It says here, and He entered into one of the ships, right? So here you got Jesus. He's preaching. He's teaching, right? These guys are out there and they're cleaning their nets. And the Bible says that Jesus, you know, He looks, the people are pressed. I can just see, you know, right here is the water. You know, Jesus is preaching. He's saying, man, they're like a whole bunch of people. I need to get out a little bit, but I don't got, you know, any more land. I'm just going to use one of these boats. So He jumps on the boat, but the boat's not His. I mean, this is incredible to me, because imagine somebody using your stuff without asking you. I mean, we're Americans, man. We get offended, right? What the audacity of you using my things, right? Or what about you even asking permission for something? You know, I buy something and you want to come to me and borrow something that's mine? And sometimes I'm not even asking, right? Look, I'm real comfortable with Bill. Real comfortable. Right? I mean, you know, we're family. We're cuncunos. Right? I mean, sometimes I forget to call Bill when I go over to his house to his shop. That's how comfortable I am, you know? I'm thinking, oh, man. And, you know, Bill shows up on his lunch break. I'm thinking, oh, Bill, I'm so sorry. I'm here. You know, I texted Deb, you know, and hey, man, Jesus just goes and He gets on that ship and He starts, he continues teaching. Could you imagine that scene? I mean, they're washing their nets and they're, hey, you know, we just cleaned that floor. We're letting it dry, you know? Now you have footprints on that thing? I mean, but we don't hear that. I'm just saying it because we're like passions. I think I would be probably saying that. You know, it says the Bible says in Psalms 24:1, it says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It says the world and they that dwell therein. So the Bible says, not, I mean, he says everything belongs to Him in that verse. And in case you missed it, he tells you again, oh, by the way, it's the world and everything in it is mine. Right? You know, it says over there in Psalms 50, and it really is an amazing chapter. It's a little bit comical because God even says, man, if I'm hungry, I wouldn't tell you about it. Right? I own everything. All the fowls of the, you know, the mountains, all the animals, everything is mine. I would not even ask you if I needed something. You know what? Everything you have is because of God. Everything, the car you're going to get into this night is God's. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we're not a thankful people. The salvation you have, you're sitting tonight, most of us tonight, saved by the grace of God, and it's God that gave you that salvation. It's God that opened your eyes. You didn't do it. Everything is God's. That's why he walked on that ship.
Right.
You know, I mean, Peter, you don't know it. Could you imagine him sitting there and thinking, man, a 50-50 chance and he gets on my boat, right? There's two boats there and what? Hey, that's like my luck, right? I mean, it's going to happen. It's going to happen to me. But you know, in verse 3, he says something else. He says, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed. Prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. You see, he had a work to do, right? He didn't fill him in on what he wanted to do. He didn't fill him in on what was going to happen after he got done talking. He just said, you know what? I'm not only going to need your boat, but I need you to stop washing your nets, and I need you to man this boat because I'm not going to do it, right? I got a business to do, and I'm going to teach. You see all these people? They all bought admission. They're all here to listen to me. Right? So your job is to get your crew, get on this boat, and thrust out a little. Not a lot, just a little. Now I don't know how hard that was. I don't know exactly what that entails. I don't know how many, you know, anchors they had to put in the water for it to be still. I don't know. But the thing was that he told him to do a little, just thrust out a little. You know, aren't we confronted with that? With God in our life? You know, and sometimes we get a little upset. You know? It's like he comes to you and he says, Roland, you need to thrust out a little bit more. Oh man, but I've been doing this for so long. You know, you need to thrust out a little bit more. Another day, you need to thrust a little. Man, I like that word little. You know? Because he didn't say, we're gonna have the burden's going to fall on all of us. He said a little. You know, the first thing, and let's get into the message. The first thing I think we can learn about what's going on here, and I'll be quick. The first thing is that we see out of this is God uses just ordinary people. Ordinary people, you know, how many times, and I know, and I'm probably not going to say it right, but we've all heard the story probably a zillion times, right? How Brother Lindell, 40 people, 10 people, you know, surrendered, and the money walked out the door, right? Basically, that's in a nutshell, right? It's more dramatic and a lot better, you know, when Brother Lindell says it, but, you know, whatever. But you know what? I start thinking about that. I'm thinking the money actually walked out the door. And 40 years later, we're still doing this.
Thank you, Lord.
You know what that tells me? Ordinary people.
Yeah. Amen.
Ordinary people just getting up every day, getting up, doing your job, being faithful to what God gave you. Did he give you, you know, an office to work at? Did he give you, you know, a garage to work in? Did he give you, you know, a job at a fast food place? Well, you know, whatever it is that God gave you to do, and you're serving God, and you're being faithful, and you're being a witness. Look, God says just thrust out a little. Just do your part. Just fill your spot where you're at, and it does count. He takes notice. I mean, look, we're talking about a God who walked on water. Did he need that boat? And he could have just, you know, did the moonwalk back there and just you know, gone out there on that water. And, you know, people, that would have been a crowd catcher. Wouldn't it be like, whoa, okay, hang on. You got my full attention now. But no, he just used ordinary things. He saw that boat and he said, I'm going to use that boat. It was not a yacht. It's just a boat. Just an ordinary boat. Ordinary people washing their ordinary nets. And he did something tremendous.
Amen.
You know, another thing you, it's obvious in this story is these guys are tired. They fished all night because that's what he said. Right? We fished all night. We didn't catch a thing. Right? So they're washing their nets. Have you ever worked a long shift and you just want to get home? Right? Oh, the hammock. Right? Fishermen use hammocks. You go down to the coast of Mexico, they're all asleep during the day. You think you're a bunch of lazy bums? No, they're fishing all night. Right? So they're asleep during the day. Right? So they just want to get home. You know, God uses us sometimes in the most inconvenient moments. Sometimes it's not convenient. Sometimes, you know, he doesn't come to you and say, oh, you know, do you have time today to come to church? Do you have extra money? Do you have extra time to go down street preaching? Do you have extra time, you know, to do whatever I want you to do? Sometimes he just comes, most of the time he comes when it's inconvenient. Wow. You know, it's inconvenient. I know it's inconvenient when we come up here, when the missionaries come up. It's inconvenient that my mother-in-law has to open her house to us. I mean, not so much me, I'm a peach, right? But my wife, I mean, guys, big burden, you know? I mean, I know it's an inconvenience. I know lots of things are an inconvenience. But you know what? God says, this is what I want.
Amen.
This is what I want. You know, when you think about the work that we're doing, you know, and the excuses we make, there's so many excuses. I'm studying right now. I got to finish college right now. But you know, that's important. You know, I like it when I hear the news, like people like Matthew graduate, you know, or, you know, other people graduated, you know, from our assembly. Wow, that's great. You know, they finished a career, you know, and then they got a job and it's a good job and they're being busy. But you know what? That all should be secondary. You know, we should not live for our job. Right? Our job should be an ends to a means. But there's so many excuses. You know, there's no time. It's amazing how fast we can make time, right? We have no time, and we're thinking, man, we're so busy. We're doing all this, and the phone rings, and somebody gives you an offer for a free vacation somewhere, one of your family members, you know, whatever, and you're thinking, hey, that's, I've never been there. I want to go. Wait a minute. I thought a little while ago you didn't have any time. These guys are working. These guys obviously, are being inconvenienced, you know, they're inconvenienced. They obviously can't be excited. Can you imagine working all night washing their nets? Or do you think they said, oh, great. You know, we're going to go ahead. You want us to throw it back in the water? We fished all night. We hadn't caught anything and we're just going to throw it back in there. These guys are fishermen.
Yeah.
You know, when I go out there, when I go to fish, I just feed the fish, right? I don't necessarily catch them. I just, you know, I try to catch them. It just doesn't happen, you know? They just get fed. But these guys know what they were doing. They knew how to fish, you know? And it's not like, you know, when I read that, it's not like they were rebuking Christ. They just wanted him to know. Like lots of times when we talk to God, right? Well, you know, you don't understand. Let me, God doesn't know your life, right? Like, okay, tell me how bad it is, you know? God knows how, you know, your situation. There is nothing new under the sun. And these guys are working and they have to They have to launch out. They have to go out there again. They have to cast their net. Have you ever worked? I mean, I know we work here when we have jobs and they give us a wage. And then every now and again, they open up overtime. Right? You like overtime? Overtime is nice. I mean, if you don't need the money, it's, you know, whatever. You can pass it by. But I remember overtime. You know, I was thinking, man, overtime. Yeah. I'm going to get maybe $50 more this week or $100 more, depending on how much they want. Man, and your mind starts racing, right? You're thinking, okay, I can go to Pizza Hut. I can go to, you know, get a burger. I can go, man, but these guys are asked to work overtime and they're not going to get anything because they already fished all night. These guys know there's no fish there. The fish are somewhere else. Right? The fish are asleep. The fish have gotten fed somewhere else. They're not going to catch anything. And they try to explain that to Jesus Christ. Right? Like Ananias did. Right? Over there. Let me tell you who Saul is. Right? Because you obviously don't know. Well, you know, this brings me to another point. That, you know, sometimes God is doing something when you don't know. You don't know what he's doing. You know? If God just sat there and could you imagine? They would have been very excited. I mean, you don't see any excitement here. We read about excitement in the Bible, right? When someone's healed, like over there in Acts chapter 3, when the lame man was healed, man, he was leaping. He was excited. He was happy. He let everybody know. So the Bible is, you know, when people are excited, it definitely shows you when people are excited. But these guys weren't very excited, right? But could you imagine if Jesus would have walked over there and said, oh man, I can see you kind of giving me some faces because I'm on your boat. But let me tell you, it's going to be real good for you, right? Because after I get done with this long-winded, you know, message I'm going to give, I'm going to give you a harvest you can't believe. I'm going to give you so many fish. You're not going to be able to count them. They're going to break you. They're going to like almost break your net. They're going to almost sink your boats. They're not going to sink, but they're almost going to sink. With that kind of vision, and you know that's going to happen, man, they'd be excited. Okay, when's that message over? I'm ready. Well, you know, God doesn't do that. You know, God doesn't tell you how things are going to work out, nor should he tell you. Right? Because then you'll be doing it for all the wrong reasons. Right? What if God gives you nothing? Salvation should be enough. What if God doesn't save your dad? What if God doesn't save your parents? What if God doesn't save anybody in your family? You're winning other people, but God doesn't win anybody in your family. It's still worth following them. It's still worth it. When you see other people maybe prosper, it doesn't mean God's not working in your life. Yeah. It doesn't mean that God doesn't have a plan for you, a plan for us. You know, whenever Paul was around in Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, the Bible says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, and he committed them to prison. You know, could you imagine? This is why Ananias said, no. You know, go back to chapter 8, Lord. You know, there's something very wrong here. But, you know, God's like saying, you know, Ananias, don't worry. He's a vessel. All right. He let them know what's going to happen. You know, God lets us know what's going to happen as far as this work we're doing. You know, sometimes it doesn't, it's not logical to us the way he works. Right. Because that's another thing, you know, you see in the passage, you know, that God, you know, here these fishermen and here he's telling them to go out a little bit farther and drop their nets, and it just doesn't make sense to a fisherman, especially one who's fished all night. Well, sometimes God does things, in our mind, it's illogical. You know? Like when God saved me. You know, He saved me by this man promising me not to talk to me about the Bible. And that was the condition that I went to him. I said, I'll meet you, but I don't want to hear anything about the Bible. Not one word. And I got saved because he completed his promise. That hour that I was talking to him, that hour that I was just talking about my life. He was asking me questions and telling me where I grew up, asking me where I grew up and, you know, what I'm doing here, this and that and the other. I was getting beside myself because I kept thinking to myself, any minute now, he's going to open his mouth and like a lion person, he's going to tell me something about God, because that's how Christians are. They have to give me the word. And he never did it. And it bugged me, and it bugged me, and it bugged me. And I was answering the questions, but let me tell you, that was the only thing in my mind. After a time, I asked him a question. And before he answered that, this guy says, let me tell you something before I answer that. You brought up the Bible, not me. Wow, God does things that are not even logical. You know, he says, I'm going to save you. I'm going to call you, but it's not going to be like, say the sinner's prayer. It's going to be something really crazy, and I can do it because I'm God. Right? I mean, it's like the things in the Bible, like in Daniel, right? You have these three Jewish boys, right? And they're there, and they are very confident that God is going to liberate them from that furnace. And I love it, because after they say, you know, we're not going to do that, and our God can, you know, can liberate us. And then they say, but if not, but if not, you know, let me tell you, even in our doubts, even in our worries, God is working.
Amen.
You know, another thing I see in this passage is that God rewards those that serve. Look what it says here in verse 9. He says he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken.
Amen.
You know, it says over there in Hebrews 11:26, talking about Moses, it says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Have you thought of that? I mean, Moses had all the opportunities in the world. You know, riches, he had all the power, but he said, you know what? I want God's reward. I want to be right with him. You know, he does reward you. And it might not be such a bad thing if he doesn't reward you here. It's not in vain. Whatever you do in God is not in vain. And you might say, okay, but look, I'm doing the same thing this person is doing over here, and yet I see him prospering, Lord. And I'm getting worse. Well, it might not be that bad, because, you know, he goes on to say, anything in this world, you know, it's subject to getting stolen. It's subject to rotting. You know, it's subject to just vanishing. Do you want treasures here? I mean, I know, and we all want treasures here. I mean, I like treasures. You know, I like extra things, you know. It's good. I'm not saying this, you know, we shouldn't ask for things, and we shouldn't be happy when God gives us, you know, stuff. We need to acknowledge it comes from God, first of all. But we shouldn't be serving God thinking, okay, he needs to pay me. He needs to reward me. You know, I think sometimes also we might even limit how God wants to reward us. Look what it says here in verse 4. It says, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. You know that Jesus asked him to lay down, to throw down all their nets? Look what he did. In verse 5, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night. I have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. What if he would have let down all the nets? What if he would have said, okay, you know, you just got on my boat, but I'm going to call my partners and we're going to throw them all in. You know, I mean, they had enough, you know, on his net to almost sink both of them, but they would have gotten so much more. I don't think those nets would have busted. I mean, they might have, you know, drugged those things, you know, all the way in or whatever, but God was prepared to give them a huge blessing. How much do we hold back? Because security. And we all fight it. We, you know, whether it be your, you know, protecting your life or protecting, you know, your wallet. Protecting your person, right? Your image. Thank you. Protecting your image. I mean, we all fight against that. Why don't we just give it all to God?
Amen.
Why don't we just say, you know what? We're going to throw all the nets out. We're going to expect a huge harvest. You know, when I think about this and the last thing I want to just say very quickly, it says here in verse 8, you know, I don't know what Peter was thinking, and you and I don't know what he was thinking, but you know, like I said, he's a man of like passions like us, you know, and you know, maybe he was wondering why Jesus wanted his ship, you know. Maybe he was a little upset because he had to thrust out a little bit more when he fished all night. You know, maybe he was a little, you know, upset because, you know, it was going to inconvenience him. He's going to get home later. Maybe he was just thinking about himself. Lots of times that's what you and I do. Maybe he was just doubting who this person was and what he was capable of doing. But let me tell you something. When I saw this today, and this is, you know, to me anyways, it was incredible. It says in verse 8, it says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. Let me ask you something. Have you seen it? Have you understood some things? I mean, lots of people in this assembly, lots of people in here have seen some things. They've understood so much so, but look, they brought in so much fish. And when Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men, follow me. They left all, they forsook all to follow Jesus. Have you thought about how much money? I mean, I don't know what the price of fish was, you know, back then. But, you know, seafood isn't cheap. I mean, we've gone to, you know, Papa Do's or whatever that place is, you know. We know what seafood costs, you know. We know they charge, you know, $12, $13, $15, $20 a plate for seafood. That was probably good money. And they left it. Why? Because he saw something. Because he saw it. And that's what I want to leave you with tonight. Have you seen it? Amen. Amen.